There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Helen Farmer. This is Dubai Today, live on Dubai Eye 103.8. Until 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's Eye on Health, your chance to have your questions answered. And the clinic is open. Now, the skin is the largest organ of the body with a total area of around 20 square feet. So allergies, irritants, your genetic makeup, certain diseases and immune system problems can cause all sorts of issues that so many of us suffer from. Something like acne can affect your appearance as well. And it's one of the most common skin diseases, with an estimated 80% of all people suffering from acne at some point. So we've all been there. Over the next few hours, we invite you to get in touch and ask your skin-related questions. You can get in touch on 4001 on the text. You can message us for free using the Dubai Eye Messenger app. And you're always more than welcome to give us a call. 04871 5500. It's a new number. We're in our new studios. And we're absolutely delighted to have three fantastic experts joining us right here. Dr. Thryer, a regular on the show, is here to offer some emotional support to anyone needing a bit of extra help around skin issues. She is a clinical psychologist. She's a graduate, PhD no less, from the Clinical Psychology of Walden University. That's in the United States. And after completing her education and working in many different settings, she's moved to the Middle East. She's worked in Bahrain, Lebanon and Saudi, and is a Canadian licensed psychotherapist and has worked across all sorts of different issues, including children with learning disabilities, clinically based issues, and women with eating disorders as well. But skin we're talking about today with Dr. Thryer. Also thrilled to welcome to the studio Dr. Linnell, also originally from Canada. She's got her biological sciences in Ontario before going on to develop a strong interest in herbal and natural medicines. She deals with all sorts of issues, including gastrointestinal conditions, autoimmune diseases, musculoskeletal, neurological and dermatological conditions as well, child health, pregnancy, fertility and chronic and acute conditions. And she's now practicing at Chiron Clinic, that's in Jumeirah. And Dr. Enman joins us as well, with more than 25 years of experience in diagnosing and treating conditions that affect the skin, hair and nails. She offers screening and dermatology procedures for a variety of skin issues, including skin cancers, minor surgeries, laser treatments and the non-surgical aesthetic treatments such as neurotoxin injections, fillers and peels. Before joining Valiant Clinic in City Walk, she served as a dermatologist in a number of clinics in Sweden and Dubai. Good afternoon, guys. It's fantastic to have three people here. Welcome to our new studios and doctors in the house. How are you all?
Thank you.
Good. Good afternoon.
So how are things in the clinic, Dr. Emran? What's keeping you busy at the moment? What's coming in?
Everything in dermatology. You know, as you said, the skin is the largest organ of the body, and there's a lot of different issues there.
Are there anything that you think that's kind of unique to Dubai, or anything you're seeing here more than you expected?
Not really, no.
No?
No, it's about the same.
Universal issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. What about you, Dr. Linnell? What are people coming in with? What are the main complaints at the moment?
I think from a functional and a natural perspective, we see a lot of gastrointestinal issues, lots of skin issues, lots of chronic issues.
Lots of people not feeling very well at the moment. So we are inviting you to ask your questions. We're talking about skin. And obviously the emotional side of that is not to be underestimated, Dr. Thryer, when we're talking about things like acne or conditions that affect the face or visible parts of the body when dressed. There can be huge confidence and self-esteem issues. Is that something you've come across in your practice?
Absolutely. You know, as you know, Helen, I work a lot with teenagers, and during the teenage years, there's a lot of hormonal developments and hormonal changes. And during that time, the development of acne kicks in. And, you know, teenagers in general, not really nice to each other when they can mm-hmm. visibly start competing against each other. So there's a lot of an emotional change that happens with individuals during that age. But ironically, it also happens in adults as well, because we carry on that sort of that difficulty that we experienced as kids, where we know that people looked at us and made fun of us, we carry that into our adulthood, where we start to worry about what people think if they see, you know, certain acne or eczema, psoriasis, things like that. So anything that becomes visible really affects the way we see ourselves as well.
And it's so much tied up in that identity, and especially as a child, of perhaps feeling other or a point of difference. Can there be an upside to this? Can it be beneficial for building resilience? Have you ever seen that? Or is it generally something that needs to be overcome?
Well, usually in the teenage years, you know, they're really resilient in general. However, that needs to be taught and channeled. So if you leave a child to deal with skin difficulties on their own without really helping them through, it becomes a little bit difficult because during that time, the social development is extremely high and they individuate from their families. Their social life becomes the most important part of their life. So what ends up happening is if they don't have the necessary tools to become resilient, they won't develop that resiliency in the proper way. And that affects them as they get older. So it's definitely something that parents need to be cognizant of and need to help channel their kids into proper strategies.
And I would guess also not underestimate the emotional impact of a skin condition. If your child is coming to you upset and seeking help, and whether that's through bullying or through their own sense of self-identity or self-esteem, to really validate how they're feeling.
Of course, because the worst thing you can tell a teenager is, oh yeah, I experienced that when I was a kid. It's not a big deal. You'll get over it soon. You know, you want to really validate what they're going through and help them work through their emotions and their feelings.
It's such a cruel time, isn't it? You've already got all these hormones going on. You've got all the social anxieties and then you get spots as well. So I do not envy the teens out there in that respect at all. Now, we'd love to get your questions in. We are here until 2 o'clock this afternoon, answering your questions live in the studio. And we know sometimes topics can be a bit sensitive or private. So if you'd rather not put your name on it, that's absolutely fine. So you can text us 4001. You can message us for free using the Dubai iMessenger app. And you're also more than welcome to give us a call. So that's 04871 5500. And everyone who sends in a skin related question today will be put in the draw to win 500 dirham vouchers to spend. That's at View at the Dusit Thani, Dubai. It's licensed. They're serving up fantastic food from Jones the Grocer. They are also showing all of the FIFA World Cup matches. It's open from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's got a fully air-conditioned tent to help you beat that summer heat. So if you fancy winning that 500 dirham voucher to spend on food and beverages at View by Dusit Thani, Dubai, send in your skin-related question and we'll pop you into the draw. And as we said, don't worry too much about putting your name on it in this situation. We've already got quite a lot coming in. But before we get on to your questions, I just want to highlight some news stories that have been coming up recently. I think it's fair to say that we've come a huge way in terms of dealing about body positivity. We've got some really good influencers and role models out there in social media who are happy to kind of bear all when it comes to different sizes and shapes. But skin seems to be perhaps the last taboo, but there is a new photo series that has just launched with one photographer on a mission to break down the stigma surrounding skin conditions such as acne, psoriasis and rosacea, with a photo series that rejects the culture of perfect pictures. This is inspired by her own experience of a young woman with skin problems. The London-based photographer Sophie Harris-Taylor has launched this new project that's called Epidermis. And she's photographed 12 women so far who are there barefaced, including two women who've never even left the house without their makeup on. Now, Dr. Thrai, you did say off air that you are prone to this, maybe not leaving the house barefaced.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the mornings, I think if my clients see me in the morning and they see me at night, they might not recognize me because I lay it on quite strong in the beginning. But by the end of the day, it's pretty much gone. But yes, I have had eczema as well as rosacea since I was a kid. And so it has affected me quite a bit in terms of leaving the house without any makeup on. But but when I travel, I don't, which is strange. And I think it's like any person, you feel self-conscious around people that you know. But when you're around people that you don't really know, it really doesn't make a difference because you might not see them ever again.
No.
So
power to them.
Yeah.
Dr. is this something you've seen in clinic, women coming in who are so reserved about showing their bare skin to the world?
All the time. I was going to say this is a very big connection here, psychology and the skin. The skin is very much a mirror of our inside. And it's many, many times I have patients I meet and they might have eczema, they might have acne or psoriasis, but you sense that there's something deeper to it. And many times...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had eczema as a child and I have to say even now I get flare-ups when I'm stressed. Definitely an emotional trigger.
It's all very connected. And that's one of the fascinating parts of dermatology, I find. So.
And Dr. Linnell, we're talking about the skin being the biggest organ in the body, and it can really be that mirror that Dr. Engman's mentioned here. This is where many conditions can manifest, and perhaps you might come with a skin condition, but it might actually be a symptom of something completely different.
Yeah, just talking about how stress has an impact and it being an inner mirror. The gut lining, for instance, has the highest amount of neuroreceptors next to the brain. So anytime you're stressed, your nervous system is overstimulated, then those neuroreceptors in your stomach or gut lining are overstimulated. And as things go on, your stomach is actually the mirror internally for what goes on in your skin. So anytime we see anybody for any skin conditions, I'm always looking at the gut.
So you're coming at this as a naturopathic doctor. You've lived in Hawaii, you've lived, you know, worked and lived all over the world, and now in Jumeirah, which we're very lucky to have you here in Dubai.
Thanks.
So I think that's exactly right. So we may have people getting in touch today with what are presenting as skin issues that could be something completely different. So hopefully between our three experts in the studio this afternoon, we can help you unpick what's going on. We're joined by Dr. Thryer, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. She's over 12 years of experience in the field of psychology and mental health. Question coming in here, this is from Aisha, saying, a cousin in the UK went to Harley Street for her son's eczema. He's 2 and was recommended bleach and Dettol baths. Is there any truth in this? I've never heard of this before. Dr. Engman, anything you'd like to add on this?
Hi, Aisha. Yes, this is an old treatment, I would say. It's nothing that I recommend. I don't know. This was in England, you said?
Yeah, Harley Street in London.
Harley Street in London, okay.
Maybe it's very expensive bleach that we don't have elsewhere in the world.
Yeah. No, of course, one problem with eczema is that you get little cracks in the skin and you get infections, and therefore you want to sort of clear out the bacteria that shouldn't be there. And this, some do with this bleach and so, but I would not recommend it. It's, and also bathing, I don't know how often they would recommend that, but it's nothing that...
Is there anything that you think you could add to your bath if you do have eczema, or you know someone in your family has it, that would help ease those symptoms, doctor?
To ease the symptoms, many add a bit of oil to the bath, but that just softens the skin, of course, superficially. Other than that, not really. It's more about the treatment of the skin.
Okay.
That's where you need to go.
What would be your kind of top advice for anyone who has got a minor eczema complaint rather than the more acute?
Eczema is always due to a dryness in the skin, where, you know, there are many types of eczema. You have atopic eczema, you have seborrheic eczema. Eczema is just an inflammation, you could say, in the skin. And it's always connected to dryness in the skin. So the most important treatment to anybody who's suffering from eczema is moisturize and moisturize and moisturize. There's nothing else to it. We cannot change your skin. You have the skin you have, and you just have to learn to take care of it, treat it. And
is it true that eczema can work in almost kind of yearly cycles in terms of...
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew out of it, I think, around the age of about 8. Mm. And as I said, I still get flare-ups occasionally. But our skin does seem to work in these 7-year cycles. Why is that? What's that about?
The 7-year cycle?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of
that. Oh, maybe that was just my doctor in the UK.
No, I've never heard of a 7-year cycle. But yes, your skin changes throughout life. So if you have the typical atopic eczema as a small child, maybe you're better during your teens, and then you get eczema in a different form when you get older, depending on what you're doing, your occupation and things like that.
So. Question here from Ali saying, hi, male, age 38. I have very, very, very dry skin. I would like to ask, what can I do beside moisturising to help my skin? Thank you. Dr. Linnell, what can dry skin could it be a symptom of something else that we could perhaps be treating, or do you think this could be very much more of a direct treatment?
I think it depends on how dry the skin actually is. I mean, a mild symptom, it could be simple dehydration. It could be a deficiency in omega-3s. So if there's a chronic inflammation issue in the body, there often is a deficiency in omega-3s. So it could be something simple as that, but it could be also towards an eczema-type picture as well.
So moisturise, 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 but perhaps is it worth something like the omega-3 supplements can help when it comes to dry skin?
Yeah, sure.
What kind of dosage would you need to get?
If you're using fish oil, I'd probably recommend anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 milligrams a day of cod liver oil or krill oil.
And what's the difference when you were talking about fish oils between like a fish oil and a liver oil? Because
cod liver oil versus fish oil? Cod liver oil has a lot more vitamin A in it. So if you have really dry skin, I might recommend more krill oil or just a high potency of omega-3.
Okay. Hope that helps you, Ali.
Can I just add?
Of course.
Like you said, it depends on what kind of dryness it is and what the cause is. And so, of course, it's very difficult to mention like this over the radio or over a phone call, but you'd have to look at the skin and, of course, exclude any internal diseases, like the thyroid is a typical disease that will cause very dry skin. And so it's difficult to give a general advice. I think you need to look at that.
Siak has been in touch saying, I work under the sun and as a result, my skin is twice as dark than the rest of my body. What can I do about that? Thank you. So I guess we're talking here about concerns about maybe looking at using skin lightening or, I mean, skin. I think skin lightening products have been quite cleverly marketed over the last couple of years. We're talking about skin whitening and brightening and lightening, whereas it's effectively a bleaching product a lot of the time. What kind of impact can using good sun protection have on changing the pigmentation in the skin on the face?
Good impact on, of course, the sun protection protects you from pigment. And I mean, it's like this, we all have different skins and we all pigment in different ways. The pigment is there to protect us actually from the UV rays. Now, if you have a skin that pigments very well or very easily in the sun, of course, you'll get very dark to the areas where you're protected in where you're exposing yourself to the sun. And it's very much a cultural picture. I just wanted to mention that moving to Dubai from, I come from Scandinavia where everybody loves the sun. You want to be tan. You come to Dubai, everybody wants to be white. So you learn a lot about that moving here. It's hard to avoid getting tanned in the sun if you have that skin type. Even if you use sun protection, there's no 100% sun protection. You will always get some stimulation. And
we all should be using sun protection every day, ideally.
Well, actually, it's not about using the sun. It's your behavior in the sun, I would say more. A lot of patients come to me and say, what cream should I use? What sun protection? And it's not actually about the sun protection. It's more about how you behave in the sun. And with that, I mean, sure, the sun protection can help you in areas that are difficult to cover, but you know how people behave. Some people lie 4 or 5 hours in the sun. And that behavior, even if you've got your sun cream on, it's not a good behavior to prevent skin cancer. So it's very much more about the sun behavior than the sun cream.
Okay, hope that helps. Dr. Thuraya joining us, a clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. And she has more than 12 years of experience in the field of psychology and mental health. So if you have any questions for any of our team this afternoon, get in touch. And we're joined on the phone to talk about psoriasis. As we said earlier, it can be completely anonymous. How can we help you this afternoon?
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. You're a psoriasis sufferer, I understand.
Yeah, in fact, first of all, congratulations to the new studios of 103.8.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate
it. I'm a regular breakfast news, customer for you.
Well, thank you for joining us on Dubai today. It's great to have you. And how can we help you?
Yeah, a quick one. To the learned doctors. One of my questions is psoriasis. I think I've consulted doctors for almost 8-10 years now. I think it's almost incurable and it's chronic, and there is not enough research in the US elsewhere being done on this, whereas major terminal illnesses seem to have more solutions, but psoriasis doesn't seem to have one. In fact, I got this, I could say, when I was in Sweden about 8 years back. It was minus 30 degrees centigrade, sun was shining, and I think it triggered off from there. That was my first question, doctors.
So, Dr. Ingemann, can you give us a quick explanation of psoriasis, who it can affect and why, and, as our caller says here, any treatments for it?
Yes, hi. Did I understand you got your psoriasis, or it started in Sweden?
Yeah, it's a place called Laxå.
Yes, I know that very well, actually. I'm from Sweden, so I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, Stockholm and Gothenburg, midway. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to blame Sweden for your psoriasis.
No,
I'm only joking. But your psoriasis, you're absolutely right. It is a chronic disease. It cannot be cured. You're born with it. It's genetic. It may skip, generations.
Okay.
But today there is a lot of research going on about psoriasis. But you must remember, the skin is a very complex organ. It's a very complex immune system in the skin. And
yes,
we don't know all about this still. But there's a lot of research going on. And the new course, affecting the immune system in the skin to help these psoriasis patients.
External application, internal dosages, moisturization, frankly, I've tried them all and I've given up.
Yeah, okay.
What have you found to be the most effective in your years of practice?
It's very difficult to say because psoriasis can express itself in so many ways.
What,
you can have psoriasis
like
all over the body. It looks like it's a very scaling disease, typically on the elbows, on the knees, and the scalp. That's the very typical, but it can also be tiny spots on your body. But it's often very scaly and... it's very stigmatizing. So these patients suffer a lot. It can be all from one little spot to your entire body covered. That's why it's so difficult to say, you know, what the best treatment is, because you have systemic treatments today, very advanced and very helpful, that give these patients a new life. So there is a lot happening.
Now, I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan at all. However, one thing she does talk about openly is the fact that she does have psoriasis, and she's been talking about a new light treatment, which sounds quite interesting. It seems to be, $1,000? And, you know, let's take this a pinch of salt because she may well be being paid to talk about this. But I wanted to ask you as doctors if you think this could be something quite useful. It's called the Clarify Home Light Therapy System, a handheld at-home device that uses UVA and LED phototherapy to treat the skin. In your experience, is this something that could be useful in terms of light treatment, doctor?
Light has always been a treatment for psoriasis. Where I come from, you go to have your UV treatment during the winter when we don't have much sun. So this is nothing new. And also home devices have been around for a while. So I'm not sure what she means by new.
It's probably a new brand who's got a nice marketing budget.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
That's what I'm talking about by being new. So you would recommend anyone who is suffering from psoriasis? It's a very general issue, so everyone's gonna have an individual diagnosis and individual problem, so we'd need to come and see a specialist.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope that helps her, and thank you so much for joining the conversation this afternoon. Actually, producer Joe and one of our colleagues, Gabby, both have psoriasis, and here they are talking about the process of adapting and living with this less than well-known skin condition.
We've both got psoriasis, which we discovered quite recently, actually.
We did.
And I think that whenever anyone finds out or meets somebody else with psoriasis, it's always a moment of, oh my God, you've got psoriasis, because hardly anyone's ever heard of it.
I know.
When did you find out that you had psoriasis?
So I was 18 years old at the time when I first had it. I wasn't quite sure what it was. A lot of people around me weren't sure what it was. I was told it was eczema. I was told it was lots of different things. When I went to go and see my family in Egypt, they all thought it was leprosy. So the level of understanding of what psoriasis is was just non-existent for me in the beginning. And it wasn't until I went to one doctor and the doctor said, yes, it's psoriasis. Like, all he had to do was literally look at my skin and he could see it straight away. And I'm like, oh, what's psoriasis? And the diagnosis was, this is what it is. There's not a cure for it. You can try and manage it as best you can. And there we go. And being 18 years old and being told that was really like, wow, okay, how have I got this? What do I have to do to be able to cope with it? And it was just really hard at the time to be 18 years old and be diagnosed with something that you are never going to cure.
Anyone who's got psoriasis, you say, well, actually, there will be a cure out there. I'm gonna try anything. Describe the kind of treatments that you've been through, tried and tested with your journey with psoriasis.
So initially when I started with my treatments, I was told by a lot of people, oh, it must be your diet, it must be your smoking. And as a smoker, I was very adamant that it couldn't be my smoking because I knew other people that smoked and they didn't have psoriasis. So how could it just be me? It wasn't fair that it was just me. So I just kind of went on this bit of a journey like, right, I'm going to have to take the doctor's advice. So the doctor advised that I try this light treatment. So this light treatment, I had to go to a specialist clinic. I had to go once a week and it was 30 seconds. And the second week it was 45 seconds and on and on. So I did this for about 6 weeks. Kind of saw a bit of change. But the thing was, every time that I went to go and get treatment, I would find that it would get worse straight after. And a big factor of that was definitely my smoking and my diet. That's what I believed anyway. Anyway, I carried on this journey and I tried cold tar treatment. And I remember getting this cold tar treatment for the first time. I had to be wrapped up like a mummy for 24 hours. Now, on that day, I was planning to go with friends to a barbecue. And I just remember thinking at the time, I can't go to the barbecue stinking of coal. So I just decided I had to take the wraps off and that was it. And I showered it. So I was doing all this treatment, but I wasn't doing it in the way because I was 18 years old at the time. And I thought to myself, why do I have to put myself through this to get on this journey? And I'm trying to think now, when was the time that I really managed to control my psoriasis? Because as a 29-year-old woman now, my psoriasis is completely different to what it was when I was 18 years old. I used to have it from probably my neck down, and now I have it on my elbows. That is it. So I feel extremely grateful now, but I can't remember the point where I just kind of went with it. But yeah, I've done a lot of treatments, and some of them worked, some of them didn't.
I think it's that emotional process of no, I'm not going to accept that there's no cure to this. And I think you reach a point where the acceptance is, actually, if I just accept that there's no cure to this, then I'll manage that. But what I just want to go back to was the impact emotionally on you. Just any advice you would give somebody else who has any skin condition and managing family, friends, strangers, children and their suggestions. What sort of advice would you offer somebody?
I can say it now because I feel like I manage it well. Maybe if you'd asked me 11 years ago, it would be different. But for me now, I would just say own it. We're all different in our own ways. We all have our different things that maybe we don't know about. I mean, the funny thing with you and I, we've been working together for 2 years. And the fact that we didn't know we both had psoriasis just says it all. Don't let something that affects you define you. You can just be who you are, be happy. And psoriasis is a psoriasis to me anyway. It's something that I'm going to have to live with. So I deal with it and I manage it as best as I can. So own it.
Well said. I completely agree.
This is Dubai Today.
Tweet us now at DubaiEye1038FM.
Walk around Munich and let it enchant you with its castles, parks and culture. Fly Emirates to Munich and enjoy special fares starting from 2,975 dirhams in economy class. Visit emirates.com.
From the moment we first welcomed patients to our London hospital to the opening of our clinics here in Dubai, one thing at King's College Hospital has remained the same: the enduring art of care. Throughout our long history, we've led the way in treating people, not just medically, but with kindness and respect. King's College Hospital London, in Abu Dhabi and now Dubai. To find out more, visit kingscollegehospitaldubai.com.
The Business Breakfast, weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. with Brandy Scott, Malcolm Taylor and Richard Dean.
Crystal Wortham, Marketing Director, Ford Middle East and Africa.
There's so much that says that women want really small cars, but what we've seen, and actually in global trends as well, is women really like utility. They like the command seating of a utility. So it's like I can fit myself, I can fit my family, and I can fit my stuff.
Engaging insights.
Can I now tell you about some utter ridiculousness?
I'd love to.
Influencers we are familiar with. Yes?
Yep.
Selfies we are familiar with.
Yep.
Yes. In Los Angeles, a company has put up a mural with white sheets around it and a security guard, and you are only allowed to take photos in front of it if you are a verified influencer or have more than 20,000 followers.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And coming up on the Business Breakfast,
we'll be looking at the cost of living here in Dubai. Not just what we think, but the official numbers. Mercer have come out with their annual cost of living survey. Let's look at how we've done.
Stay one step ahead with the Business Breakfast.
In association with Do, Dubai Investment, Virtue Zone, Rack Bank, and Al Habtour City Hotels.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8. Eye on Health on Dubai Today.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good afternoon, welcome back. This is me, Helen Farmer, on Dubai Today, live on Dubai Eye 103.8 until 2 o'clock. This is your chance to have your skin-related questions answered live by our experts. So whether that could be psoriasis, it could be acne, it could be eczema, it could be anything that you're worried about, or perhaps there's someone in your family that's got a skin complaint that you just need a bit of clarification and a trusted expert to answer. We're joined in the studio by Dr. Engman. She is from the Valiant Clinic, a dermatologist who diagnoses and treats a variety of skin issues, from skin cancers to non-surgical aesthetic treatments such as injections, fillers and peels. And Dr. Linnell joins us. She's a naturopathic doctor who practices family medicine at the Chiron Clinic in the Sustainable City, taking a whole body approach. And to offer some emotional support around the topic of skin issues, Dr. Thuraya joins us. She's a clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. Now, we just heard from producer Joe and our colleague Gabby, who, as we heard, have been working alongside each other for 2 years and didn't know that each one suffered from psoriasis and have tried all sorts of treatments over the years. They've got a trip planned to the Dead Sea, which sounds just like a holiday, but they're claiming there's some medical basis in this. What I really liked there, Dr. Thuraya, was Gabby, after 11 years of suffering from psoriasis and trying everything she could, to now, as a woman in her late 20s, accepting that this is part of who she is. And as we discussed earlier, it's a very difficult and complex skin issue. Where does skin tie in there with identity?
Well, it's the first thing that people see in you, and it's sort of the first thing you see in yourself when you look at the mirror. So it's quite significant when you think of how you identify yourself with what you're looking at, as well as what other people are looking at. And, like she had mentioned, she only got into her 20s before she was able to accept it, because honestly, something like that, you go through like a grieving process, because ultimately, people think of grief as when you lose someone, but that's not the case. You go through grief also when you lose an idea of something, and the idea of having a specific type of life, looking a certain way. When you develop any kind of skin disease or disorder, or any kind of skin difficulty where people can actually visually see, what ends up happening is that your dream of looking a specific way has to be grieved as well. And so for her, she went through that confusion. And like Joe had said, was, it's sort of saying to yourself that, no, this can't, does have a cure, that bargaining where, like, if I do this, then this will help. If I do that, then that will help, And then going through the depression stages as well as the anger phases, and then finally getting to a place where you have to accept it and say to yourself, okay, this is part of, what I have on my body, but it doesn't define who I am as an individual, and really sort of owning it and saying to yourself that, yes, this is something that's going to be there, but not necessarily is going to change who I am as a person.
Dr. Linnell, what's been your experience of psoriasis over the years, and do you feel like there is a cure or we're getting closer to one?
From a functional perspective, our viewpoint is actually not to look at psoriasis. It's to look at the individual, and in that, look at it from a process perspective. So, for instance, there's research showing that some people don't digest certain proteins, certain amino acids properly, and things like arginine and ornithine don't get broken down properly, and they cause something called polyamines. And there is research showing that there's a higher level of polyamines in psoriasis cases. And there's ways of biochemically assisting the body to lower those polyamines. Another thing that's important when looking at, for instance, this gentleman that phoned on the just now with psoriasis, trying everything, it depends on what order you try stuff, but bowel toxemia and dysbiosis is something that's very common. Endotoxins from certain types of bacteria have been linked with chronic hyperproliferative skin issue. And so if I see somebody and they come into the clinic, it's about looking at them from processes biochemically and trying to address the processes and enhance digestion, getting digestion to move a lot better, cleaning the gut up, decreasing inflammation. So looking at it from a process-to-process based rather than a symptom.
Got a question here coming on the text line saying, please can you ask the doctors about biologic medicine to treat psoriasis? Is this anything you can shed some light on? What's biologic medicine?
Biological medicine, I think in Europe, is similar to naturopathic and functional medicine. So it just means more natural-based medicines. And of course you can, yes.
No, actually, I think it's the biologics they're talking about. People say in common, people say biologics. It sounds like you say a bit natural, mm-hmm. but... the new treatments for psoriasis, these that are more acting on the immune system, these are the biologics, and I think that's probably what the...
And what do they do and how do they work?
Very, very complex, but this is a treatment you do, you know, you might inject yourself once a month or twice a month. There are different types of biologics, and this is the newest approach in psoriasis. And there you're affecting the immune system in the skin. That's where it's acting, because we know more about this complex immune system in the skin. So that's how the biologics, they're extremely expensive and not for everybody, but for these patients with very severe psoriasis all over. And, you know, if you have very, very severe psoriasis, it's definitely a change in life.
Actually, just to add on to that, I had a talk that I did on the psychological impact of mostly psoriasis with a pharmaceutical company conference. And the things that they focused on were the biologics and how much it affects, because they have some serious side effects as well, in terms of sometimes it could be sterility, sometimes it could be fatigue, heavy headaches, numbness, depression at times. So there are the biologics, although they help significantly for some people in terms of severe psoriasis, especially if it's all over the body, it can lead to side effects that can ultimately also affect a person's mental health, but just in a different way.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of patients are helped with this. So of course, you always have side effects with any medication, but there are many, many patients who, you know, they've got a new quality of life.
Available here in the UAE yet?
Oh, yes.
Okay, there we go.
But it's not, like I said,
it's not for everyone.
It's simple. It's not just something for everybody. You have to be properly diagnosed and see if this is something for you.
Joined now on the line by Rahul. How are you, Rahul?
I'm good. How are you, everyone?
Well, good, thank you. You've got a question about blisters, I understand. Can you explain and see how we can help?
Question. I'm so sorry. Excuse me, because it's a very simple question. It's not related to whatever I heard over the past few minutes.
That's okay. Go ahead.
It's a very simple question. That if you get a burn normally, okay, you get blisters, if it's normally a first degree or a second degree burn. Just in case, what doctors do, they would just burst the bubble and they would just dress it. So is it recommended to bust it and take it out, or it's just leave it like that? Normally, what would you recommend?
Hi, this is Dr. Engman answering your question. We don't recommend to burst it, because the blister, the roof of the blister is actually a good protection against infection. So if the blister is not completely, you know, stopping your life, or it's not too big, that's what I mean, you know, in size, then it's better to leave the blister as a protection against infection and leave it to heal.
What about popping it?
I think popping. No, that's what I mean. Don't pop it.
Don't pop it?
No. Okay. But many people want to pop it because it's in the way, or you know.
I just did it 2 days ago.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be with you, who love to pop a blister.
Don't get infection in it. But actually, the roof of the blister is a good plaster there. It's a good protection to protect you from infection. So it's better to leave it if you can.
Okay, thank you there. I hope that's cleaned up
an ongoing debate.
I'm devastated, quite frankly. I'm always about the blister popping. Joined by three fantastic experts here in the studio. Originally from Canada, Dr. Linnell got her degree in biological sciences in Ontario before going on to develop a strong interest in herbal and natural medicines. You can find her at the Chiron Clinic in Sustainable City, where she practices family medicine, dealing with all sorts of issues from gut health, hormones, autoimmune diseases, neurological and dermatological conditions, child health, pregnancy, fertility, and chronic and acute conditions. Joining us also, we're very lucky to have Dr. Engman here. She's got more than 25 years of experience in diagnosing and treating conditions that affect the skin, hair, and nails. She offers screening and dermatology procedures for a variety of skin issues, including skin cancers, minor surgeries, laser treatments, non-surgical aesthetic treatments from neurotoxin injections, fillers, and peels. And before joining Valiant Clinic in CityWalk, Dr. Engman served as a dermatologist in a number of clinics in Sweden and Dubai. And a Dubai Today regular, Dr. Thuraya joins us, a PhD graduate from the Department of Clinical Psychology from Walden University in the United States. She's a Canadian licensed psychotherapist and Canadian licensed self-harm interventionist. She's got more than 12 years of experience in the field of psychology and mental health and practices at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic in JLT. So no name on this question, saying, I'm 37 and recently started getting cold sores under or in around my nose and around my lips. It started after I had my second child and then me and my husband separated. I work, look after the kids through the night and suffer severe depression and anxiety since my mum died, so I'm on Zoloft. I'm sure it's all down to stress, but these cold sores stay visible for 2 weeks, so it makes me feel very self-conscious. It makes me stress about the way I look, so I try to cover them up with makeup and then my skin gets spots because of the makeup. Dr. Inman, can you offer any insights on what sounds like quite a complicated issue here?
Yes. Hi, dear listener. It seems like you're having a tough life. And obviously, this is a viral infection you're suffering from. And it is a nuisance. I mean, you're in probably in a period of your life where life is tough. And that's why you're getting these infections so often, I would guess. And there is help to get. There is antiviral medication that you can, if you're getting it very frequently, like once a month, you can actually go on a more long-term treatment just to get over this difficult part or difficult time. Some patients take this antiviral medication just to get over one infection, so to say. But it depends a bit how much you're suffering and how frequently. There is help to get, so yeah.
Dr. Linnell, what's your take on this? It seems to be a lot of unpicking here around emotional issues that are obviously manifesting through stress and perhaps lack of sleep, looking after kids and working.
Well, just as a sort of a natural approach, I would say you can up your lysine content. You can probably take between 2 and 4,000 milligrams a day of lysine. That'll decrease any cold sore activity. It's quite antiviral. But from a general picture, definitely anything you can do to decrease the nervous system is, if your immune system is weak because you're highly stressed, your nervous system is overstimulated and your immune system is weak. So if I would see this patient, I would definitely recommend immune support over the next 3 to 4 months while she is going through this kind of a stressful period.
Dr. Thuraya mentioned they're suffering from depression and anxiety since mum died and on Zoloft there. Is there anything else you could suggest as a clinical psychologist that would help support this lady?
Well, in general, when it comes to Zoloft, obviously the medication doesn't have side effects of cold sores and things like that. So thankfully it's not related to the medication. However, sometimes if a person is still experiencing depression and anxiety while on medication, I think it's time to maybe revisit your psychiatrist and see if another medication could be implemented. Or if family life changes could be implemented, things like exercise, eating healthy, you know, breathing properly, meditation, things like that are very helpful in reducing not only symptoms of depression, anxiety, but also stress levels and helping with, I'm sure, with, you know, the internal show that it will have on her face and on her skin.
Rishi joins us on the line now. You've got a question about dehydration, Rishi. How can we help you this afternoon?
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, thank you so much. And my question would be, is because of the heat and the air condition we are living, the environment, it's more like, our skin gets dehydrated. So we apply various moisturizer, and sometimes the moisturizer is different for your body and different for your face. What are the natural remedy other than the type of food and the water we drink to basically hydrate our skin?
Is there a difference between dryness and dehydration when it comes to skin in terms of oil versus water? Is that something we could be mindful of as well? Dr. Linnell, what would you generally advise to someone who's concerned about dehydration that's manifesting in dryness of skin?
Well, there has to be a reason why you're dehydrated. Right. So checking that you are actually consuming enough water. But if your skin is dehydrated, there's always an internal reason from a functional perspective. If you're hydrated, your skin doesn't actually technically need moisturizing.
Is there anything we can be adding to water to help us kind of absorb it and retain it in a good way rather than that kind of awful
water
retention?
Sure, just increasing general electrolytes.
Okay.
Coconut water is fantastic, natural form of electrolytes. using Himalayan sea salt instead of table or iodized salts, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have more electrolytes.
Mm-hmm. Could you add, could you add that to your water as well? You could add Himalayan
a little bit,
a so
pinch.
It doesn't taste like
mm-hmm.
you're drinking the sea.
Yeah, exactly.
In the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
And what about any topical creams or adding add-ons to kind of baths or anything like that from your point of view as a dermatologist, Dr. Engman?
Yes, like you said, the environment here is very harsh on the skin with the ACs and the heat and the sweating and all that. So hydrating the skin from the outside is very important as well as from the inside. And I would say, you know, for the face, just not too oily creams. And it's not too much the oils, it's more the hydration deeper in the skin you want to get to. The oils do a nice softening of the superficial skin, but you want to hydrate deeper down, so more hydration than oils.
Are there any kind of active ingredients that we should be looking for in products for hydrating, anything that can really help retain that moisture in the skin?
Yes, there's a lot of technology today in skincare, so there are lots of things you can look for. Glycolic acids, for example, you can look for, I can't really think of anything right now, but there are better and worse or less good creams.
Okay, I hope that helps, but I think we can all do well to drink as much water as possible at the moment, Rishi, so wishing you all the very best. Lots of questions coming in for our experts here in the studio. One here from Usman saying, I'm 36 years old and have had acne problems since my teenage years. This problem lasts until my mid-20s. I never use any medical treatment or creams on the skin, as I always believe that men don't need to do these things to stay natural. Now I feel stupid and want your advice. What can I do to improve my skin's appearance with any natural or medical treatments? So a question there about acne and also presumably maybe acne scarring as well. What would you suggest for that, Dr. Ingman?
Well, skincare is important, and more men are discovering this, thank God. So I've changed many men in that perspective. So yes, skincare and what did you say? Acne scarring.
Well, if he's had acne in his teens and 20s, yeah, now wishing his skin appearance was different.
Scarring is difficult. There's no easy solution, unfortunately. But I'd have to see it to be able to advise. But if it's old scars, like you said, from teenage, it's probably difficult to do much about the scarring. But you can do a lot about the condition of your skin by good skincare. So definitely.
What kind of regime would you recommend? When you say good skincare, I'm sure we've all got different interpretations of what good skincare is. Mine can be a wipe of the baby wipe.
Basically, it's good cleansing and moisturizing. And today, like I said, there's a lot of technology in skincare today. So, and there's a jungle of skin products out there. So it's very difficult to know where to start many times. And I get that question every day from several patients. And I think we have to guide them through that and find the right products that can actually do something for your skin.
Mm-hmm. So, A question here, and we can just squeeze it in, I think. My three-year-old son has three bumps on his nose. I think they're blocked pores. They've been there for about a year, and I think they're getting bigger. They're white. What should I do?
These are called milia. These are blocked little oil glands. Nothing to worry about. They'll probably disappear by themselves, even though they've been there for long. I personally wouldn't do much with it. Just leave it and they will disappear.
Not worth trying to remove or anything like that. Also, trying to pin down a three-year-old to try and remove them would be absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Horrendous.
A three-year-old, it's not worth it. You know, they will go. I can promise you that, but it might take time.
Sakat here asking, hello, what's the best preventative measures for jock itch or doby itch between skin fold and genitalia? Skin turns soft and red and talc doesn't help.
Mm.
That sounds painful.
It is. It's a big problem. Also quite a common problem here, of course, because of the climate. This is usually, if it is a jock itch and it's diagnosed, probably it is a fungal infection. So, of course, you need treatment for that.
Okay, so it's not a case of trying to stop the chafing as such. It could be something fungal that's quite easily treated.
Mm.
Okay, hope that helps. To discuss it this afternoon, we're joined by Dr. Linnell. She is a naturopathic doctor practicing here at the Chiron Clinic in the Sustainable City, dealing with a huge range of issues in family medicine. And Dr. Inman joins us. She is at the Valiant Clinic in CityWalk, a dermatologist who deals with skin issues, including skin cancers, laser treatments, non-surgical aesthetic treatments. And we're going to be picking her brains about aging and planning to get a little free consultation when the next news headlines are in. And we've also got Dr. Thuraya, friend of the show and a real Dubai Today regular, PhD graduate and a clinical psychologist practicing at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic in JLT to offer some emotional support to anybody going through difficulties around skin issues. Just a very simple question here for our doctors in the studio saying, what's the difference between eczema and psoriasis? Dr. Linnell, what would be your interpretation of the differences of those two skin conditions?
Psoriasis is a hyperproliferative skin disease.
Did you see my blank look there where you said that? Okay. And for the non-doctors among us?
It means that the cells keep producing over and over, and I think it's around 1,000 times more than a normal cell.
Wow.
Versus eczema is a chronic inflammatory condition. And I would say there's much more autoimmunity associated with psoriasis than eczema.
Okay. Hope that clears it up. I've got a question here from Sananda saying, I have hundreds of dark raised freckles across my neck, chest and back. The areas exposed to the sun and they get red in the sun. My grandmother and mother have it and I first noticed it when I was about 18. I'm Indian and 28. Is this treatable or removable? Dr. Inman, is this something you've seen in clinic?
I've seen a lot like it. I'm not sure exactly the way she's described or you are describing it, but I'm afraid I'd have to see that to be able to tell you if it can be treated. It's difficult.
If we're talking about tiny freckles or moles, how do you decide when to remove something?
Well, a mole is something you remove surgically. It's something that needs to be cut out, not done by laser or anything like that, because you need to have a proper diagnostics on it in case of anything in the future happening. So a mole is something different. Then you have skin tags that can be dark and pigmented as well, typically on the neck, and those can easily be cut off. You can have something called seborrheakeratosis as well that look like moles. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's very difficult to say like this what we're talking about. It's
could be well worth a look.
Yes.
Okay. Question from Natasha saying, my five-year-old has a few white patches, three, on his face. We've consulted a doctor who's told us it's quite common in the summer and it's a form of eczema, which is particularly common in children who have had sinus-related problems. We've changed the sunscreen and also apply a topical ointment every night called Protopic. We find that the patches are not increasing, but they've also not faded yet. Is there anything else we can do to ensure that they don't get worse? Can you recommend a lotion for his body? And he occasionally gets little red spots like mini pimples on his legs.
This is very typical with eczema children, pityriasis alba, which are these pale patches in his face I'm talking about. And this is, it's not a form of eczema, but it's the eczema children who will get these pale patches in there due to their dryness in the skin. So where you've had eczema or an inflammation on your skin, you don't pigment like the normal skin, and that's why it looks pale. So it's got nothing to do with the cortisone creams or about, you know, it's not an eczema per se, but it's like caused by the eczema.
Okay, and what would you advise?
It will heal, you know, they grow out of it. You just moisturize, that's all you can do.
Just keep those moisture levels high. All right. A question here that I hope you both can have a bit of input in. I think, Dr. Thuraya, this is one that is really crucial from your point of view as well. No name on this one saying, hi, I'm an 18-year-old female who's had really bad hair loss for the past 2 years. I went to the doctor and they said I was fine. It was just genetics. However, thin hair does not run in my family. Up until I was 16, I had very thick, wavy hair. My hair is now so thin that I'm afraid of even going out with friends because it makes me feel so insecure. Has anyone dealt with this and has tips of what could be causing it? Dr. Linnell, in your experience, what can hair loss be a symptom of, something underlying?
Again, it's difficult because it's such a broad symptom you're asking about. But I think I run mineral testing, for instance, copper testing, biotin serum levels can be deficient. You can be simply deficient in biotin, ferritin, of course. So it's really difficult to just say take this or that, actually, without looking a little bit further.
And she's saying she's 16.
Even the water here, for instance.
Really?
A lot of people, the water is very hard. It's desalinated water and then added minerals back in and chlorine. It's really hard on people's hair as well here. So a lot of people complain with hair loss.
Dr. Thurow, it sounds like she's got an issue, and the stress and feeling self-conscious could well be contributing more to the symptoms that she's experiencing. Is there anything from a psychological point of view that you would recommend in terms of alleviating perhaps the anxiety around this?
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the worst things, especially during the teenage years, is to start showing any kinds of symptoms of something that somebody can actually see. And hair thinning is, you know, just as the doctor had said, in general, the water here is very tough on a lot of female hair. So there's a lot of thinning of hair. But also there's a possibility of alopecia as well. I mean, obviously, this is something that she would have to check with a doctor. However, things like hair thinning and alopecia and any kind of skin disorder or scalp disorder ultimately is also affected by the amount of stress that a person feels. And if, you know, naturally by her hair thinning and her being around us in a social situation and seeing the difference and her friends noticing the difference, so she's going to build that anxiety, and that's mm-hmm. going to cause more stress, and she's going to feel she's going to fall into a loop and a cycle where, you know, the stress is going to make her hair fall out more, and the hair fallout is going to make her even more stressed, and then we go back into this kind of state. So initially what I would suggest is, you know, try to remember that, you know, hair thinning is not part of who you are. However, it is very significant, especially for women, because it does signify things like fertility and health, especially with men and things like that. So it's important for you to, number one, go get checked by a doctor. I think this is by far the most important thing. Go see where this is coming from. And then you might want to look into what are my options of maybe natural treatment, medical treatment. Also, sometimes psychological treatment might be helpful, learning new ways to minimize the amount of stress and anxiety you might be going through, as well as sometimes, you know, there are some tips that doctors can give you in terms of not necessarily hiding, but minimizing the emphasis mm-hmm. on certain spots, especially with hair thinning. You can develop certain areas on the head where it's just becomes like almost like a bald spot. So wearing bands around your head, but obviously not suffocating your scalp, but things like that might minimize the anxiety initially, but ultimately you do want to get checked and want to see a professional for this.
Okay, wishing you all the very best. I'm going to read this question and we'll come to your answers after the headlines. Sue is asking, my daughter, age 14, has angry looking acne across her face and back. It's really affecting her confidence and what she chooses to wear. She often doesn't want to meet friends, go to the beach, etc. My heart breaks for her. Can you explain what the medications options are? We'll answer that after this. Joined this afternoon by Dr. Linnell. She's a naturopathic doctor who practices family medicine at the Chiron Clinic in the Sustainable City, taking a whole body approach. Also in the studio to offer expertise is Dr. Ingman from the Valiant Clinic, a dermatologist who diagnoses and treats a variety of skin issues. And to offer some emotional support around the topic of skin, we have Dr. Thuraya, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. Question here saying, hi, my daughter is 7 years old. She's always itchy. It's usually all over her body, but more around the mouth and on her heels, so much she needs to take her shoes off in school frequently just to scratch herself. She generally has dry skin, and we've used Cetaphil body lotion for her for the last 4 years, but the itch is always there. I've checked with several doctors, but it doesn't seem to help much. Sometimes anti-allergy medicines like Zyrtec help, and sometimes they don't. She can't sleep at night because she's so itchy. Can you help? Dr. Linnell, that's poor little girl suffering for years with what sounds like a really uncomfortable situation and breaking her sleep, which is going to have impact on how she feels during the day as well. What would you suggest if this mum was to come in with her daughter to your clinic?
Two things that come to mind right away would be, we do something a little bit different than most clinics. We do something called a comprehensive stool analysis, which gets sent to a functional lab in Europe, and it's a three-week culture. So I would right away culture her stool, and I probably would check for hidden food sensitivities. There's some sort of minor chronic inflammatory condition going on. It's not normal that she should be itching. So from a functional perspective, I see this all the time. Often it's a lot worse. So there are much more kind of chronic eczema cases, but this seems to be, from my perspective, a mild eczema type case.
Okay, yeah. So a really kind of in-depth analysis on that stool and have a look at the kind of the as you say in your normal practice, the whole body approach. Yeah. A question here, and we mentioned from Sue earlier, saying my daughter 14 has angry looking acne across her face and back. It's really affecting her confidence and what she chooses to wear, and she often doesn't want to meet friends or go to the beach, etc. My heart breaks for her. Can you explain what the medication options are? Dr. Inman, I think this speaks to a really important point of when are, you know, a few teenage spots the norm, and when is it acne that, you know, medical intervention really is necessary?
Mm. Acne is a difficult problem because it's, like we said before, it's during a difficult period of your life and it affects you a lot. You know, life is difficult anyway and you get these spots in your face. And today, if you ask me, I don't think anybody should have to suffer from acne because there is good medication to get. Sometimes it's enough with topical, but there are also good systemic treatments for acne. So,
One of the big concerns when I was growing up certainly was going onto medication for acne. There seemed to be quite, well, scary, really, side effects, especially when it came to mental health as well at a time, as we said, when things are already quite difficult. Yeah. Have medications moved on, do you feel?
Moved on. It's still the same medications, but today we have a lot of experience with these medications you're talking about. And there's a lot of bad talk about these medications. If you read online, it's very scary. I have a lot of kids who come in with their parents and the mothers are petrified, my kid's not having that medication, and I explain to them that, you know, how it works and everything, and they, you have the most beautiful results and you have a happy patient coming out after 6 months.
So as you said, the medications hasn't changed, but what has changed is the level of
experience. And today we know how to treat these, but there's a lot of bad information on the internet. I think that's
true across the board.
Yes.
So your daughter doesn't need to be suffering as much as she is. And, you know, Dr. Thryer, who's someone who's really experienced when it comes to treating teenage problems, this could have a real impact on her self-confidence. So trying to, it's great that you are empathetic to what she's going through, and hopefully together between you and a doctor can get this sorted out. Yeah. We've started to hear about acne happening at during the teen years. We've had a text here saying, I'm a 57-year-old woman and I've experienced the worst acne of my life in recent years. Several doctors have called it rosacea. However, I'm yet to find a successful treatment. Do the doctors have any recommendations for this condition? What is rosacea?
Rosacea is sort of acne-related, an inflammatory skin disease, again, in the face. And it's in the group of the acne problems. It's very inflammatory, and there is help to get. I'd have to see you to help you, but I don't think you should. I see a lot of these patients with rosacea. They come and they've been around and tried all kinds of treatment, which more maybe stresses the skin more than, so you get a bad result instead of actually giving the help they need. So there is help, there's medication. Sometimes it's just enough with the right skincare that helps them. So it's.
Why would that happen in the 50s, do you think, in a 57-year-old woman? Why would there be such a kind of a sudden presentation of a skin issue, do you think?
Well, she probably has the predisposition to get it, but there can be factors in her life that are causing this. Again, we're there, you know, it's all psychology. A lot of this skin talk today, it's all connected. It can be stress, it can be the environment, you know, a lot of things. So.
What about from a naturopathic point of view, Dr. Linnell, what would your take on this rosacea in your 50s be?
Well, I'm very much all about you are what you eat. So what you put in your body manifests on your skin. You have to look at insulin resistance. That's a big correlation with acne. I think permeability issues in the gut lining as well are correlated with acne. You can run serum zonulin testing nowadays, which is a protein found in gap junctions of the gut lining. And if it's elevated, it shows that there's actually an increase in permeability. So it's about looking at what you eat. It's cleaning up your diet. It's going anti-inflammatory. It's putting a lot of healthy, good probiotic bacteria into your gut, and focusing on your gut and your nervous system again, because your nervous system, your stress is hyperstimulating your gut lining as well. So the more stress you have, the more food sensitivities you get, the more inflammation you get in your gut lining, and it becomes a bit of a vicious circle.
Okay, I hope that helps, but taking that whole body approach may well be kind of the key to unlocking this. Sid getting in touch saying, hello, due to a lot of stress, I have a lot of wrinkles under my eyes. I'm 41. Please advise the best way for treatment. You and me both, Sid. Right. Dr. Engman, you have got experience when it comes to anti-aging treatments, the Botox, the fillers, and the peels. And I'm looking at you. Yeah. I'm going to hide behind the screen. What do you advise in general for anti-aging?
Remember, genetics is a strong part of it.
Okay, well, that gives me some hope.
So that gives you some hope.
Good. It does, actually.
And then you have your way of life as well.
Okay, and then we fall down.
So there we have smoking, what you eat, and your stress and all that. And then there again, I'm back to skincare. That it's very much about that. Sun protection, of course, the sun is a bad aging factor. So, again, you have to find skincare that can do the most for you, I would say, in this jungle of skincare. And there is a lot today. There is a lot you can do.
What ingredients do you look for in skincare to help with anti-aging?
I mean, today you have peptides, you have glycolic acids, you have stem cells. There's a lot of technology today. So there's a lot you can do, but
now we're on radio, so people can't see just how glowing you are, both of you, all of us, actually. What is your skincare regime like yourself? What do you do in the morning and what do you do in the evening?
You think that I would reveal that on the radio?
Yes, I do. Oh. But is it serums? Are you using retinols? How much do you break it down?
I was talking about, it's just finding the right skincare. And that I understand, because like I said, I have this question many times a day. And it's very difficult if you don't know enough about skincare to choose in this jungle of products.
It is overwhelming.
You go into the shops and they can sell you for thousands of dirhams, but maybe that's not what you need. And that's where I feel my obligation to guide these patients to something that can actually do something for them.
Now, I was just picking your brains earlier, Dr. Engman, about all things anti-aging. And one of the questions we get asked most when it comes to anti-aging is Botox actually a preventative measure?
You could say yes, because Botox, what it does is it weakens your muscles, okay? And if you don't use a muscle, it becomes smaller, just like anywhere else on the body. So if you have these people who come doing their Botox twice a year, the muscles that will cause these wrinkles will weaken, and they actually get less wrinkles with time, even without their Botox, but not the same effect as the Botox, but yes. So in that way, it's preventative, you could say. Like, it's sometimes it's hereditary to have very deep wrinkles.
Don't look at me when you say that.
And some younger people come and do Botox just to prevent. They don't want that deep, sharp wrinkle in the frown.
And Dr. Linnell, you actually do facial acupuncture at the Chiron Clinic. What does that mean?
It's looking at you very holistically, doing ear and whole body acupuncture, and then ending off with about, give or take, 20 needles in your face. Needle acupuncture breaks up adhesion. So when you have a wrinkle, it's because the muscle is actually hypercontracted. So if you're inserting needles into that area, you're stimulating collagen production, you're stimulating circulation, and you're stimulating the muscle to actually release. So it actually works well technically with Botox.
Oh, good to know. Just noting that for future reference. No Name on this one saying, hi, is potato juice good to apply on skin for overnight? I have no idea. Dr. Linnell, you're shaking your head.
I have no idea either. I haven't heard that one yet.
Dr. Engman?
If you want to look like a potato in the morning, maybe.
Or smell like a potato.
I don't know.
Maybe it's got some mystical ingredients that we just don't know about. Mm. If you'd like to add your question, you've got 5 minutes, I am afraid. We've had a question here about leg, terrible thread veins on my legs. Listener asking, it's embarrassing, but how effective are treatments? I'm in my mid-40s and have had these since pregnancy 8 years ago. Mm. What would be your take on this, Dr. Engman?
Well, I do laser treatments on these. The vascular surgeons would inject them. It depends on the size, and again, you'd have to see it to give the proper treatment. But these are the two treatments I would say that are available.
Okay, it can be effective.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, question a lot of parents out there, I'm sure, will be interested to hear the answer to. My baby is nearly 5 months old, has nappy rash with little red dots and areas of broken superficial skin. Oh. I've been applying Sudocrem, but a thin layer, so now I've started putting on a thick layer. It's still there. What can I do? First of all, kind of what really is nappy rash and how can we treat it? Very common, hey?
Yeah, nappy rash. It's an irritation in the skin. Of course, the skin under the nappy gets very closed in. It gets, especially here, it's hot. It gets, you know, warm, moist, which affects the skin. You can get fungal infection in it. So, it can be different things. But
that's a good point, actually, to ascertain if it actually isn't a fungal infection, something that could be treated relatively easy with, you know, an over-the-counter cream rather than keep on using these barrier creams or these nappy rash creams. So, getting along to a paediatrician could be a good first port of call.
Take the nappy off as often as you can.
Yes, roam free.
Yes.
Probiotics. We recommend infant probiotics. And you can mix a little with olive oil and put it right on the rash as well.
You can apply probiotics directly to the skin.
Yeah, sure can.
Wow. Okay, there's some good insights there. Question here from Amelia saying, what kind of treatment should I do for reducing pores?
Reducing pores.
I'm guessing on
the face.
You're
not telling us how old you are.
Let's pretend it's me. I'm 35. How do I make my pores smaller?
that's a sign of sun damage, you could say. But reducing pores. You can do some treatments. Now we're talking aesthetic treatments. Mm-hmm. Radio frequency is one that's probably the most efficient one to reduce pores.
Okay.
Naturally, we use acupuncture for that as well.
Do you really? Yeah. How do you do that?
Needling your face. Yeah, acupuncture needles.
How does it work? Just scares the pores into hiding away.
It increases circulation. And from a Chinese perspective, it's increasing qi to that area. So it allows the pores to tighten up and your skin to tighten.
I need to come and see both of you. Huge thanks to our three experts in the studio, Dr. Linnell, Dr. Ingman and Dr. Thuraya. Really enjoyed having you in and enjoying your expertise. Thank you all. Do stay with us.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.